through humanity, God decided and designed to display the image of his glory, not through the stars or giraffes or thunderstorms or the Grand Canyon, but through you and me. Hey everyone, welcome to Godology. My name is Danny. I'm the pastor of Cross United Church here in sunny and warm South Florida. This is an opportunity for us to learn and grow together about what we believe about God and all things in relation to God. If you're interested in finding out more about our church, you can go to crossunited.org for more information. We're going to be talking this time about what we believe about what the Bible teaches about humanity. So I'm going to start us off with the summary statement from our statement of faith, the Baptist Faith and Message, which was revised in the year 2000, about what we believe about man or humanity. And then I'm going to break that down into more simplified bullet points. Article 3, man. Man is the special creation of God made in his own image. He created them male and female as the crowning work of his creation. The gift of gender is thus part of the goodness of God's creation. In the beginning, man was innocent of sin and was endowed by his creator with freedom of choice. By his free choice, man sinned against God and brought sin into the human race. Through the temptation of Satan, man transgressed the command of God and fell from his original innocence, whereby his posterity inherited a nature and environment inclined towards sin. Therefore, as soon as they are capable of moral action, they become transgressors and are under condemnation. Only the grace of God can bring a man into his holy fellowship and enable man to fulfill the creative purpose of God. The sacredness of human personality is evident in that God created man in his own image, and in that Christ died for man, and therefore every person of every race possesses full dignity and is worthy of respect and Christian love. So we can break this down into a dozen things we believe about humanity. Humans are special because they're made in the image of God. God designed humanity to have two sexes or genders, male and female. This design is a good gift of God. Human persons are special because they're made in the image of God. God designed humanity to have two sexes or genders, male and female. This is a good gift of God. God created human persons perfect and without sin. Sin is disobedience to God. God created human persons with the ability to choose good and evil. The first man and woman chose to sin. The man's choice brought sin into the world, and the world is now filled with sin. Man's choice brought sin into human nature. Human persons are now full of sin from the moment they're conceived and are bent towards sin in their lives. Every person ever born chooses to sin and to disobey God. Every human person's choice to sin and disobey God leads to God's punishment. No person can save himself. Only the grace of God can save any person. The image of God and Christ's death for human beings means that every person from every place is very valuable and very important. Now we're going to look at what we believe about humanity under three big headings. Humanity as created by God, humanity as corrupted by sin, and humanity as redeemed by grace. First, humanity is created by God. We start in the very beginning of the Bible with the intention of God. When we say that God created man, or that man was created by God, we acknowledge that man is not God, that man is a creature, and God is the creator. In Genesis 2:7, it says, God made man from the dust of the ground. Now, on the one hand, this is a metaphor for who we are in relation to God. We are dust before an almighty creator. Yet on the other hand, we are so valuable because we are made in the image of God and considered to be the crowning work of God's creative purpose. That same verse, Genesis 2:7, says that God formed the man. That same verse, Genesis 2:7, says that God created man out of the dust. But then it uses the word formed, which implies something like an artist taking raw material and creating a work of art. Because of who created man, man is intrinsically valuable. Because of who humanity is made by, humanity and every human person, male and female, is intrinsically and inestimably valuable. Man is special. Humanity is special compared to the rest of creation. Through humanity, God decided and designed to display the image of his glory, not through the stars or giraffes or thunderstorms or the Grand Canyon, but through you and me. That special value, that special status for humanity stems again from the image of God. Genesis 1:27 says that God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Wayne Grudem says that the image of God means that man is like God and man represents God. Theologian Anthony Hokema says that the image of God relates to two aspects of man's identity. Who man is like God, his form, and what man does is like God, his function. First, the form of man. Who man is, who humanity is, who human persons are, is like God. God gave humanity moral, spiritual, mental, emotional, relational, rational capacities that glimmer, or at least show a glimmer and glimpse the glory of God himself. Man is built and made in such a way that God shows up in who humans are, in who a person is. Now, we need to understand that the image of God in humanity is not merely spiritual. It is also physical, meaning God designed humanity from the beginning to be a body-soul combination, a body-soul unity. This is called, in theological, you know, the $5 theological terms that theologians like to throw around to sound smart, psychosomatic union. Psyche, psycho from the Greek word psyche, meaning soul, and soma from the Greek word body, meaning body. Soul-body unity, that humans are both body and soul. This is one area where the great Christian thinker and writer C.S. Lewis got it wrong. He said humans are not a body with a soul, but a soul that happens to have a body. That's not actually what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that humans are both body and soul. So we think about the image of God, we recognize as we look through the scripture that the image of God is found fundamentally and formally and firstly, most clearly, in Jesus Christ. The true image of God in humanity is seen in Jesus Christ preeminently. So when we think of the image of the Son, like in places like Ephesians 1, as Hokema says, we can think of that as nearly synonymous as the image of God. In other words, a Christian who comes to Christ by repentance and faith, who is then made more like Christ in who they are and what they do, united to Christ in their status and justified, counted righteous, and then made more like Christ and sanctified, is being made into the image of God, or becoming more fully the human being that God intended them to be. Now, in a little bit, we're going to talk about what it means that humanity has been corrupted by sin. But before we do that, we need to note that in Genesis 9:6, after humanity has fallen into sin, after God has sent the judgment of the flood into the world, that humanity still is said to bear the image of God. This shows that though the image of God has been grossly corrupted and perverted due to sin, it hasn't been erased. We were created in the image of God, and glimpses of that image still show through. It is wired into and in fact who we are. And part of the image of God is the binary, the gender or sex binary of male and female. Male and female is God's good design for his creation. Whatever a person is at birth is who they are. A person's sex and gender are the same thing in the eyes of God. A person cannot be born in the wrong body. If someone is male by birth, they are male. If someone is female by birth, they are female. If someone is born a male, they are a man. If someone is born a female, they are a woman. This is the image of God displayed in humanity through the binary of gender. Now, like we said, the form of man, who man is like God, is the image of God, but also the function of mankind, what humanity does, is like God. A helpful way to think about this is that a human person uses the characteristics that are inside of them by nature as they live their daily lives. So they live out the capacity to think and to know and to relate and to love. Very specifically in Genesis 1:26-28, where we see that God created man in his own image, we see there what theologians call the creation mandate. God commands humanity to take stewardship over the earth as sort of an under-ruler, or sort of a vice president, to execute the will of God the King on earth. That is the creation mandate. Now, because humanity is made in the image of God, man is inherently valuable. Man has dignity. Humanity has dignity. Human persons, male and female, have intrinsic built-in dignity. Human persons are given the ability to make moral choices and moral decisions and take moral actions. Before the fall, God created humanity with the ability not to sin. Adam and Eve had the ability to preserve the original holiness God had given to them, although they failed. If you look at Genesis 1, you see that there is a deliberative divine counsel where God says, "Let us make man in our own image." And many theologians think that refers to the Trinity. It's a special moment in the creation narrative. Again, as Hokema notes, nowhere else in the creation story does God deliberate or take such deliberate action as he does in the creation of humanity. The image of God, which renders humanity intrinsically valuable, possessing intrinsic dignity, means that any form of abortion, racism, or partiality is excluded as sin. People of every color and language and culture have intrinsic dignity. People are intrinsically valuable, no matter their abilities or disabilities, no matter their age or their shoe size. Even in the midst of our sin, every human person bears the image of God and has intrinsic, built-in dignity. In other words, as Herman Bovink says, man lost none of his substance or his nature or his being or his ontology as a result of sin. In that sense, humans are fully human even after the fall. But that's not the entire story of humanity. Humanity is created in God's image, but humanity is also corrupted by sin. The corruption of humanity starts with the choice. Man was created good, without defect. After his final act of creation on the sixth day, God saw all that he had made and said it was very good. Being created in the image of God is fundamental or basic to understanding who people are, who human persons are. But there is also now, since Genesis 3, another basic reality at work in human lives, in the world, in human nature. Man is sinful. Why man chose to disobey God is one of the most difficult questions of all. We can't know how man, though he was created good, was able to choose evil. This is the question of original sin. What we do know is that God created man good and gave him the ability to choose, and man chose poorly. Being tempted by Satan, the serpent, Adam chose to sin. One of the most succinct definitions of sin is given by the Apostle John. 1 John 3:14. Sin is lawlessness. Sin is turning away from God's intention and instruction. One of my seminary professors said that sin is a denial of the Creator and his created order. Wayne Grudem defines sin as any failure to conform to the moral law of God in act, attitude, or nature. The choice led to the consequence. When Adam sinned, he condemned humanity to disfellowship with God and a world and a life of sinful brokenness. The key verse to understand this doctrine of inherited sin, is Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, in this way death spread to all because all sinned. Herman Bovink says this doctrine of original or inherited sin is shown by scripture, by experience, and by the testimony of all religions and peoples. The Bible teaches this reality all over the place. Psalm 51:1. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Romans 3:10 through 12, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Now the Bible teaches us the reality of original sin, but so does our own experience. Our own experience teaches us that people are born broken. And anyone who tells you differently has never parented a toddler. Now, at this point, we have to talk about an important question, and that is the question of what it means to say that humans have free will. The Bible clearly teaches that God gives us opportunities to make choices, and he holds us responsible for those choices. There are basically two views of how it can be that we have the ability to make choices. The first one is what's called libertarian free will, coming from the word liberty, meaning freedom. This view teaches that we can choose A or B, we can choose right or left, without any input from anything other than the fact that we are making that decision. This is typically what people kind of assume we mean by the word or the phrase free will. But there's another option that I actually think makes better sense, and that is compatibilist free will.
Compatibilist free will teaches that God's sovereignty and human responsibility are compatible.
This view believes that we choose according to our strongest desire. Scripture seems to show, and in fact, I think clearly shows, that people make choices out of the desires of their heart. As we saw in Jeremiah 17:9, our hearts are desperately wicked. Jesus says, a good person produces good out of the good stored up in his heart. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. I once heard a story of a guy named Mike, and Mike was on a low-carb diet. And Mike on the low-carb diet was driving by a Krispy Kreme donut shop, and the Krispy Kreme had the hot light on. And Mike had a crisis in that moment. He could choose to follow his diet and not eat those calories and those carbohydrates, or he could choose to satisfy the desire for those hot, melty Krispy Kreme donuts. Well, finally, Mike decided to eat some donuts. He stopped at the Krispy Kreme and got hot, fresh donuts. Mike was free to make this choice in line with the strongest desire. In that moment, his desire for those donuts was stronger than his desire to maintain his diet. Because of human sin, we are now in a different position than we were before sin entered the world. When sin entered the world, God created us with the ability not to sin. The Latin would be posse non peccare, able not to sin. But now we're in a very different spot. Apart from the redeeming work and grace of God in our hearts to give us a new heart that is alive and not dead in sin, we are now non posse non peccare, not able not to sin. We have free will, we have the choice, but in line with our forefather Adam, we choose according to our nature and our desires, which incline toward evil continually. We choose evil instead of good. We choose darkness instead of light. And we choose that because we love it. But praise be to God, that's not the final reality of the doctrine or what we believe about human beings. We believe humanity can be redeemed by grace. God didn't leave us alone with our sinful hearts. We can be redeemed and fulfill our true purpose. We can be remade into the fullness of the image of God according to the likeness of Jesus Christ. The image of God in us is so corrupted, our hearts are so wicked, that the only restoration can come through the redeeming grace of God for us in his Son, Jesus. Apart from God's grace, we would be stuck in the likeness of Adam. Romans 5, remember that key verse on the doctrine of original sin? Paul continues in that paragraph and says in verse 19, for just as through one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also through the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Just as Adam represented us and failed in the garden, Christ represented us and succeeded and prevailed on the cross. Christ is the second Adam, who succeeded where the first Adam failed. Christ can bring us back into fellowship with God and make us the human beings, the human persons that God has designed us to be. He can bring us back into fellowship with God, can give us a renewed purpose, life like God intended. And again, this shows the full dignity of human persons. In redeeming us by grace, God restored us to the ability we had before the fall into sin. We are now once again able not to sin. Oh yes, we fail a lot of times. I know I do. But we now have the ability through a renewed heart and mind and the power of the Spirit of God within us to choose again the way of God, to truly display his image. Well, that's a little bit about what we believe about humanity. If this was helpful to you, hit like and subscribe. Share this episode with someone you think might be helped by it. And I will see you next time.